Boy, he's starting to open some doors of prayer now. The last 3 months, I've just really been dwelling with him. Now he's starting to have me pray in there with him. And praying in the Father is different than praying anywhere else. Glory to God forever. He says, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto us has been given to know. The kingdom is a mystery. Don't let anybody fool you. You have to understand the mysteries before the kingdom's going to work. You have to understand the mysteries. The kingdom just doesn't work. God gives us an extension of the kingdom through what we call the Corinthian model, and he lets us operate in relative measures of the kingdom of God until we learn how to operate in the fullness of the kingdom. The kingdom is a mystery, and so that mystery is understood, we're not going to understand how to operate in the fullness of it. One of the great missing elements, we had his word, one of the great gifts God gave us here was revelation. And because we had his word, because we had revelation, that word ended up bringing us into the rest of the things. Amen. But one of the great elements that I saw that I didn't realize was his love, how much love had to do with the operation of his kingdom. His whole kingdom's foundation is love. And it's not our love, but his love. And his love had to come to the same level that his word was running, see. Because before, the word was running at a very high level, but love wasn't running at the same level. Because we have to receive his, amen? So as we started moving in his, as we're moving now in his love, and his love's filling up the tank, amen? And it expands the tank. So now you have his word and love, say faith, worketh by what? Love. What faith? There's three elements of faith, in my opinion. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of the thing not seen, and it works by love. So there's substance, there's evidence, and there is faith has a substance, faith has an evidence, and faith has a foundation, which is love, right? So we have substance, evidence. Now, what is the substance and the evidence? The substance, well, I'll get with the evidence first. We know what the evidence is. The evidence is his word. Amen? And he says that in Hebrew. You can turn to Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed, set in motion, set in order by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made by the things that appear. So what do we want? We want the kingdom that is not seen. We want it what? Seen, right? We want to bring the invisible into the visible. Ultimately, that's what we want. And we want it not in measure, we want it in fullness. And so there are going to be components that are going to come from the invisible to the invisible realm. The great component that God builds with is his word. Amen? He's going to bring the word, and he's going to make it flesh. So the word must be present for the kingdom of God to fully function. So the word is the evidence, say the evidence, of the thing not seen. We have evidence of what God has said. Now what happens is, there's another, that faith worketh by patience. Sometimes people get impatient, they won't let the process come forth the way that God wants. Now, depending on what level you're building, when we're building at this level, we had to come into a lot of understanding of how this level is built. And because what we've asked for requires a lot of training, so the training has been long, amen, but it's been worth it, hallelujah, because we found some goodies along the way, like the love of the Father, that changes everything. So The word is the evidence of the thing we haven't seen, but the word alone is not enough because he also has substance and then you have foundation. What is the foundation of our faith? Amen. But it's the Father's love, right? Now, what is the word? Who is the word? Jesus is the word. So he represents the word and the evidence. The Father represents the love, right? And then the Holy Spirit is synonymous always, always with dunamis creative power. Like Mary, she was overshadowed by the highest will overshadow you. The power, the dunamis power of the highest will overshadow you. Every time the Holy Spirit, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. He's always bringing the dunamis. Amen. So you have three measures, three primary measures that constitute the kingdom of God. Love, the foundation, the word, the evidence, and dunamis, the substance. Say the substance. The substance. Dunamis is many things, but for our case, it's the birthing. See, the power of the overshadowed the highest overshadowed Mary. Also, by faith, Sarah received dunamis, say dunamis, to conceive. So dunamis is there in birth. Dunamis there is in creation. The invisible things from the creation of the world or what are clearly seen by what is made. So everything that's made was made by an invisible substance. We see it. But it was made through an invisible substance, the word and dunamis. Even his eternal dunamis power in Godhead, he attributed the world being created by an eternal substance called dunamis creative power. Amen. Though it's invisible, it becomes visible. But dunamis works with the word and those both work by love. So faith. So you got three things. We have love. Because he's getting into the dunamis now. Woo! In the glory realm, he mixes it all together. When you're with the Father, the love, the dunamis, the word gets all mixed in a bowl called your spirit. Hallelujah. And it gets very glorious in there. Hallelujah. Very glorious. I'm just coming out to tell you how glorious it is, and I'm going to go back. Praise the Lord. Because I'm enjoying being with him a lot these days. Hallelujah. So, love, dunamis in the word, those three are the primary component. The kingdom of God is like a woman who went and hid three measures of meal. It hid leaven into three measures of meal until what? The whole was leavened. All right. So the mixing agent here, the leaven, is faith. Say faith. Faith is going to be involved in the accessing and the receiving of love. Faith is going to be involved in the keeping, understanding, receiving, keeping the word of God. It says they all heard the word of God, but they didn't mix the faith. The children of Israel didn't mix. They mixed the faith. Faith is going to mix. Amen. And the dunamis, by faith, Sarah received the dunamis. So faith is the catalyst that's going to receive. Faith is the catalyst that's going to mix. Got to have it all. Say we're going to receive and mix the bowl. This is ultimately going to cause the leavening of the kingdom. And so what's inside ends up getting leavened. And when it gets leavened, that's the breakout. That's when you ever seen the yeast leaven, it expands. That supernatural expansion is not done by man. It's done by a leavening factor. When faith gets the three components, they start mixing, and then they what? Start expanding. Amen? So that's where we are in the things of God. We receive. We're mixing. The kingdom of God is mixing. Say mixing. Mixing, 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 and then the leavening of the kingdom. Each component is represented by a member of the Godhead. The word represented by the Lord. The love represented by the Father. Dunamis represented by the Holy Ghost. Amen. the operation of the kingdom won't be long. The kingdom of God's going to start manifesting around here. Amen. That's what everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see the kingdom, but what's making all that happen is not just it drops. It doesn't just drop. It's baked. The kingdom of God is baked. It's mixed into a bowl. It has ingredients. When the true kingdom of God releases, those to whom and through whom it flows knows how it happened. It's not a mystery to them. When the visitation of God comes, it's just a mystery. Oh, it just fell. Praise the Lord. When the kingdom comes and takes residence, those to whom the kingdom of God has come and take residence, they know why it's there. They know how it's there. They know what brought it. Amen. And it can be reproduced city after city, place after place. Isn't that glorious? If it's a mystery, it's not going to stay. If you understand what brings it, it will remain. Amen. Father said, let your kingdom remain. Let it remain. Let it remain. Hallelujah. My greatest prayer now is what's going on in the prayer closet goes on here. It makes its transference to this jurisdiction. The kingdom of God, the sea, heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, for the will of God to be done on the earth as it is done where? In heaven. The what we encounter with him, we encounter here, that he comes and dwells. Be very careful not to just continually hear these words and not pursue it, because if you do, these great mysteries will become very mundane if you don't interact with them. Because what happens, you'll end up hearing it and just hearing it and hearing it, and then not doing it, it starts to become mundane. Oh, yes, of course, what's next? Because we don't interact with it, we're always wanting to hear something new, because these words require the interaction to experience the power and the greatness and the glory of these mysteries. You don't just to get to hear and it comes to you. There's certain operations of the body of Christ you can just sit in and it'll just drop on you. This one you have to be a part of. You have to interact with it. We all have to, amen. It's cost, the price, but it's glorious in its end. Amen. And more than this, it'll reserve for you one of the highest places in the kingdom of God in eternity. As you find the Father's love, you will find one of the highest places known to man for all eternity. You'll already qualify yourself for a great reward just of finding his love. One of the great things that God ever requires of anybody is to learn to love and to walk in his love. Amen. We'll continue in his love if we're being loved. Isn't that glorious? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We just glorify you right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Father, we thank you for your great love, your great glory, your great grace, your great mercies, Father. Your great mercies. We thank you for your great love. First thing he showed me was that door out there. He said, are all welcome here? And I said, yes. He goes, but do all enter these doors? I said, no. He said, you cannot come into my house unless you enter the doors. But he said, my house is open. And he's not talking about this church. He's talking about his house. He says, my house is open to all who wants to come in. They can drive by. They can stand out in the parking lot. But he says, until they make it through those doors And he goes, even the ones that come in, when they first come in, they don't know what all it's about. Even talking about the natural church. He's the same with my house. When you first come in, you're not going to know. You're going to have to get acclimated to the way things are done. And somebody could probably sit in here for 6 months to a year and still not know what this place is really about, because it has multiple layers. It's the same way with him. And if you don't come in, you won't fully know what he wants. You won't fully know him. You won't fully get integrated with all that he wants. If you come in to his house once a year, that's like coming to church once a year. Amen? He said, my house, he said, tell them my house is open. My doors are open. There's nothing shut in this hour. He goes, I've opened the mysteries to come into me. Now, what he told me to do, he said, don't just pray. He goes, I want you to tell them, show them the pivotal points that you use to come in. So I was going to just take you right in prayer, because even there was anointing to do it. But he told me, he said, I want you to give them the pivotal. I have pivotal, what I call pivotal scriptures that I use. And if you'll pay real attention to this, at one point in time, I'm going to enter in with these pivotal scriptures. I deal with the same things you deal with. I deal with all the distraction you deal with. I deal with all of that. So often I'll come in, because I'm really not a morning person. Some people just wake up and they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and hallelujah. I'm not a hallelujah person in the morning. I just very rare. I have to come in. Now, when I come out from the Father, I'm a hallelujah person. When I come in, I got all this stuff. It's just, and I deal with the same walls you deal with at times. But there are ways to get through those walls up into the Father. And I want to share with you how to do that. Sometimes, believe it or not, it's just a matter of time. How much time? Sometime I'm doing everything and I'm just sitting there and I just stay patient and I stay patient and I'll roll through these 6 or 7 pivotal scriptures I'm about to give you. I'll roll through them, and what I'll do is I'll roll into one. It's not there. I'll roll into another one. It's not there. I'll roll in another one. I'm looking for the door. Does that make sense? I'm sitting into the rest, but I'm wanting to go to the Father. And I'm trying to move to the Father, but I'm looking for this opening. And sometimes I'll get out of focus. I get back in focus, but I'm moving through each pivotal place. And I'm trying to look for that open door, because once that door opens, it's like you get ushered in. Then it just begins. The songs, the warmth, the honey, the love, the incredible embrace of the Father, the inside, outside, all of it. Now it's glory. It's a glory realm. Now there's a glory realm behind the Father's love that's so encompassing. Wow. I just touched it once yesterday. It was wow. Anyway, you have to find, because it's amazing. You'll feel nothing. And all of a sudden you go around nothing. And things will scream at you. This is not going to work for you. It's not going to work. And you'll want to give up. I've had some of my greatest times in the Father because I just didn't give up. I just stayed there until I got, went through the door. And it's amazing how you'll shift from being down here all the way, and you'll get so elevated in the Father. You'll get so elevated in his love, and it'll turn into, if you have the time, a multiple hour session, and you won't even know it. But you have to get that window, that door. You have to find it. And you got it. Sometimes it's not going, I don't ever get in the same way every time, but I get in the same way, but not the same scripture. I'm looking for the window. So I'm going to give you some pivotal scriptures to utilize. Because I was about to go into prayer, and the Father said, no, tell them how I've taught you how to do this. It'll help them. And so people listening too. So I'm going to give you some pivotal scriptures to utilize, and how I utilize them. Not just what I do, but how the Holy Spirit's taught me how to utilize them. And if you'll do this, you'll find your window. Once you start finding your window, you'll start getting in your access to the Father. Amen. Because ultimately, he wants us from where we are to the Father, and then the Father to us. Amen. And that's coming fast. Praise God. We're running a race. The Bible says run. So let's start for a minute. Thank you, Father. John 14. Let's start here. And I'll show you what I do. Now, normally I'm in the door. I'm in a certain measure of rest. Sometimes the rest is very heavy right now, which is glorious. But I don't stay there very long because I want up at the Father, because you'll find the Father's fuller than anything else. So the first one I'll generally go to with the Father is this particular one in John 14. There's about six or seven pivotal scriptures here that I use. One of them is going to get you. Sometimes I have to go around them twice, all six, and I go around again. And then one of them is going to hit. I don't know how to explain it. You're just there, and all of a sudden, boom, it just shoots you through. It passes you through the veil. The first thing you have to know is these words, you must believe these words have the power to move you through the veil. Amen? The Bible says, in fact, let me just start with that one. It's better that I start with that. Go to 17. It's important you believe it. These words will get you through the veil. John 17:17. It says, sanctify them. Jesus, by the way, had the same process with the Father, because they say unto him who was sanctified, Chuck brought this out to me, and sent by the Father, the Lord himself was sanctified. Now, it's not sanctified, as you know, the word sanctified means set apart. So set them apart, or separate them from the world with thy truth, for thy word is truth. These words have the power to separate you out of this world. They have the power to separate you and set you apart to the Father. These words that he's given has that power. You got to know that. So a lot of times I'll hold that word like that, and I'll say, separate me. Separate me unto yourself by these words. The one thing I always do, go back to 14. That's one pivotal scripture, by the way. I always, always, always begin with this particular prayer. When I'm going to the Father, I'll usually begin with this scripture, verse 23. It said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. I bring this in a state of promise to the Father. I said, you said that if I keep your words, these words would separate me to you and you would love me. This is what I'm looking for. So today I choose to keep these words. Today I choose to interact with these words. Today I choose to hold these words in my heart. And I put these words and I speak these words and I hold them in my heart. I choose to hold them believing they have the power to separate me to you. Amen? Because every day you have to have a jurisdictional separation. I don't care who you are, how high you get, you still have to start with a jurisdictional separation. You have to move out from where you are to where he is. These words were designed to do that for you. They are your airplane, so to speak. They're your surfboard. They're the ones that are going to move you through. Amen? You're going to ride on these words. They're your escalator to heaven. That's a better word. Okay. So that's the word I'll start with. I choose today to keep your words in my heart. I choose to believe what you said. I'll begin that process. And this is one I'll use. This one will be, it's not just the saying of it. It's the way you interact with it. Listen to me very carefully. This one here in John 14, in verse 3. Now you can read it like that. Verse 2, my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there shall you be also. There's a lot right there. The first thing you want to see is, you have prepared a room for me. Father, I thank you. Lord, you've prepared a room in the Father for me. It's my room. It's been prepared for me from above. You said that you would receive me unto yourself. You said you would receive me to where you are in that room. There I am also. These words that I keep, Lord, have the power to bring me to where you are, to my room, to my dwelling place, the place that you have prepared for me. It is your will that I be with you in this room. This is my room. Everyone say, my room. You have to lay hold of it as yours, not an arbitrary room anymore. It can't be an arbitrary room. It has to be your room. It's your place. Hide me in the secret place. Hide me, Lord. Hide me in my place. Hide me in the one you prepared. Who did he prepare it for? You. There's many dwelling rooms, but he's prepared the room for you. Everyone say, I have a room. Have you laid claim to your room? Have you laid claim and possession of your room? You must see it like that, because if it's arbitrary and it's way out there, it's not yours. You have to lay claim, take your stake. This is my room. When you go to your house, is it your house? Is it your house? Do you have the key to your house? Do you doubt that's your house? You have to know that it's your room, because if you don't know it, you don't believe it, you're not going to get there. You have to know that room is just as much belongs to you as your house belongs to you. You've prepared this room for me. See, I do this. This is my room. There's nobody else going to be in this room but me. This is mine. In the Father, you've prepared a house, a room. It's my dwelling place. It's the place to lay my head. There's no other place for me but that place. I come to my room. This is my room, Father. This is my room. Everyone say, this is my room. Today I choose to take possession of my room. See how the difference between just reading a word and interacting? You've made that word your own. You've got to make that your own. If you don't make it your own, it's still out in front of you. It's not with you. It's not yours. Take these words and make them yours. That's why he said, let these words abide in you. These are your words now. These are your words you prepared. In this room, Lord, you will receive me. You're waiting for me. You sent me this word to get me. And it's this word that's going to bring me to where you are. It's these words, Lord, they're going to bring me into the Father. It's these words where you receive me in the Father. You welcome me. I'm welcome here. I'm welcome in the Father's house. You see how when you agree, you see what happens when you agree? All the things you feel, they start lining up with what he says. I'm welcome with you, Lord. I'm accepted in you, and I'm welcome in my room. I'm welcome here. I'm in your family. I'm welcome. Say, I'm welcome. I'm welcome. You know, I could just go right there right now. I'm welcome here, Lord. What you'll do is you'll move in there and that warm honey will start coming over you. The warm honey, and then you know you're getting swallowed up in the Father. You see how that works? I'll receive you. And then what I do, and he's filling the room. I'm in the room. Glory to God. I'm in the room. I'm standing with you when I'm in the room. Glory to God. You are there. I'm also. What I do is when I'm in the room, I say, Lord, I am where you are. I dwell with you now in my room. I abide with you. He's always there, so gentle. He's so very kind. He's so full of compassion and love. He doesn't judge. I never known him in that room to be a judge. He's always there as a mediator. He mediates between us and the Father. This is our room now. The place where we dwell, he wants us to come into the union, see. You enter into the union, you can feel his presence, his love in here now. I enter into the union, Lord. The great Father. Father, I'm standing in two places right now. My feet are on the ground, my spirit's with you. Oh, take my feet from the ground. Y'all can join in me in prayer because we're about to be separated to our apostolic office. I'm going to tell you right now. There's an office that will be established here. And the separation of that office, we're going to see the Lord very soon. That's going to finalize the apostolic office. I'm just telling you what's happening with him. He might appear in front of everybody. That's what he did in the early church. So if he appears, we all bite the dust. Praise the Lord. You got to look upon him, though, because it's part of your testimony. See him. Glory to God. I hope he wants to eat with me like he did with the other guys, you know. Could you imagine eating with the Lord, having lunch? I'd be going, what? Anyway, that's about to happen. Pastor Chuck, this place is about to separate to the apostolic office. Everything's been building into that office, but it has to have a formal separation, commissioning, and he has to fulfill. He's given us the doctrine now. Here's another one, the very powerful one. 18, verse 18, because they just come up in my spirit. Now, you don't want to go reading these when you're trying to pray. You already have to have these in you, okay? Don't go, oh, I'm going to read this. You don't do it like that because then you're in your head. You got to have them here in the heart. Do you see where I was interacting? I was interacting in the heart, and that door just opened. We should have just stayed there. Okay, here it is. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. That's John 14, 18. I will not leave you as an orphan. That's a great one, because an orphan's without a father. You're sitting in this jurisdiction. He's promising you, I'm not going to leave you fatherless in your jurisdiction. You don't leave me as an orphan. I'm not an orphan. I may feel alone, but I'm not an orphan. I will come. You've come to me. How does he come to you? He sends his Holy Spirit and he sends his words. You sent your words. And that day, that's what he says here in 19. I use this one a lot. In a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you will see me. You said I would see you. I'd look for you for the eye of faith. I don't have to see you with these eyes, only for my testimony. But for the eye of faith, I will see you. I will see you today, Lord. And what I do is I don't bring that out in the future. I put it in the now. Today, I will see you, Lord. Today, I will see the Father. Today, I will be present with you, Lord. There it goes again. We're right there again. I see you, Father, today. Oh, man, he's holding me right now. Today, Father, I'm with you. Today, Father. Today, we're with you, Father. You didn't leave me as an orphan, Father. I'm not alone, Father. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone, Father. Your purity, Father. Be with us here. Oh, man. There's another one right there. He says, in that day. Don't he say in that day. Don't do it like that because you're in that day. Say, this is today. Today I know. Today I intimately know that I dwell with you, Lord. And that we dwell in the Father. It's that day that I know that I am in you. It's that day that I know that we are in the Father. Right now, I am in a heavenly place speaking on the earth. Just like when you were with Nicodemus. I'm right there now. It's that hour that I know that I dwell with you. Where you are. And that we are in the Father. And you are with us here. This is that hour, that union. Heaven and earth are now coming to union, to oneness. We're in that hour, Lord. We're in that day. I know. I intimately know now. I dwell with you where you are, and you dwell with me where I am. I feel your glory in both realms. This is remarkable, Lord. This is one of the first times I've ever had this like this. If I could describe it to you, half of me is sitting with the Father and the other half is sitting here with you. But you're coming to dwell here now. You have to feel that glory in here. You feel the glory of the Father. You feel His great warmth of His great love. I see a tree with very low hanging fruit. It's bowing over. The fruit will not be able to stay on the tree. It's about to release. Prepare yourselves, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare yourselves for this hour and this day. For there is a new way, saith the Lord. You will know and eat of this fruit, and you will give it to the world. Prepare yourself for heaven. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. Do all that has been asked of me from this house, I will show the answer. Well done to stand. Well done to hold and keep my words. You will see the reward of all things. For this presence that's with you will be upon you. And it will grow in your jurisdiction. And men will come in and know that the Father dwells here. They won't even have to ask. They will feel my Father. They will know He's present, because He will not leave one sick among you. He will not leave poverty and lack in your midst. These things are at hand. Know your hour, saith the Lord. Know that I am faithful and I cannot lie. You have found my words, and those words have found me. Amen. John 15, the abide in me, same thing. This is one I use often. It's John 16.